Carol. We should have had her play that before we took of the Lord's Supper this morning, maybe. Thank you. Remember, Marilyn and I were texted this last week by our oldest son. He wanted some pictures related to his middle life, you know, back in the year, little years. And so we went and pulled out boxes and started looking through the pictures. And in the process of looking through the pictures, of course, we lost ourselves in remembering. And we tried to figure, where is this one? Well, how was this taken? And et cetera, et cetera. And we ended up finding some pictures that were taken of us as a family. And a group picture, beautiful. We're all dressed up nice, looking nice. Marilyn looked beautiful. I looked like normal and whatever. But all the kids. And so we had five each. And so we sent a couple of them to Sherry. And we're going to give the two to each of the others. And it's amazing how she looked at those pictures and when we were conversing, what she remembered. Pictures, of course, are a means by which that help us to remember. And we all have our photos and we all have our scrapbooks. We all have maybe our particular little book that we wrote all of our little secrets in that we don't want anybody to read, etc. Those kind of things that go on. Some people wonder where in the world my mind goes sometimes. I've been asked over and over again, how do you remember all those jokes? Have you ever been asked how you ever remember all those jokes? I've been asked that question numerous times. Well, I read in Reader's Digest way back a long time ago that if you want to remember a joke, you got to take that joke as quickly as possible and tell it to five different people. And if you do that, chances are it will be, so to speak, impressed upon your mind. And what happens, of course, is that certain things happen. People say a word or an incident occurs, whatever, and boom, the computer kicks on and that joke comes back in the mind as far as that is concerned. But the point is, you have to say something over and over and over again in order for you to remember it. You know that? In fact, Harvard University teaches that their best students, they tell them that if they want to remember and want to have something really impressed, they've got to read something and repeat it over 10 times today. Because your memory is so filled with so many other different information. You're getting information all the time. But if you really want to have your mind impressed with something that you want to remember, then you need to repeat it over and over and over again. Now, there's chances are some of you could follow Paul's instructions in Philippians 3:13, forgetting. Forgetting those things which lie behind and pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God. In that context, it would probably be well for all of us that if we could put some things behind us, forget it, move on. And the aspects of that, I'm sure that is important. Someone has said the aspect of it is that God gave us memories so we could have roses in December. Things that to remember. We need to remember certain things. There's certain things that should be so impressed in our minds that you will never forget them. And that is such an important part of who I have become, who you become, is what we do remember. But a lot of times we can't move on in life until the first thing that we do is we forget. Forget the things that are behind and press on toward the calling that God has given us in Christ Jesus. For instance, in Acts chapter 20, Paul said, as he writes there, he says simply this, remember what the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many of us need to have that impressed on our mind? How many times do we have to say it over and over? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is. Say it. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come on. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And then you have Jesus talking to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation. And he has this against them. They have lost their first love. And he tells them, repent. Well, remove your candlestick and remember from whence you have fallen. You remember that day, how excited you were, how much Jesus meant to you? I mean, you were all on fire. You were excited. Remember the day you were immersed into Christ for the remission of your sin? And when you come up out of the water, the grave, how you probably felt like a burden had been lifted. Loads had been taken off your shoulder. You felt free. It was a joyous day of celebration. Remember that day. Remember it? That's what Jesus is saying. Remember when the Bible was the most important thing in your life in those early days, and you couldn't miss Bible study? You wanted the Word. You were excited about it. You had a zeal to learn. You were in the book, and the book was becoming a part of you, etc., etc. Remember. Remember how you were so zealous for the Lord. You loved Him with all your heart. Repent, He said, because maybe you've lost your first love. And remember from whence you have fallen. Or else I'll remove your candlestick. And you no longer will be recognized as one of the seven churches any longer. You know what he said? So remembering is important. I remember it. I remember this. I remember I was sitting there with Marilyn in that First Church of Christ. And I remember the invitation was offered. And I remember I was sitting in the front pew. I don't even remember how I got there. I'm serious. I just remember I had to have walked up there. No, I believe, if I remember correctly, I ran. I remember little Grubbs coming down, taking my confession, and I remember going back, and we basically got down into the water, and Lowell immersed me into Christ. I remember coming up out of the water, and I remember I was 20 years old and how excited I was about what had just occurred in my life. And I remember that today, and I keep going back to it, because I remember how excited I was to go calling with George Walden and see people's lives change and see them affect and the impact of it. I remember people showing up on the Lord's Day that hadn't been there for weeks because George Walden, an elder, and I called on them. And there they came, and there they came, and there they came. And I remember the first sermon I preached and how excited I was about the opportunity, etc. I've never lost that excitement. I won't. I can't. Because I remember where I came from. I remember what was going on in my life at that point in time. And I remember that God was certainly moving me in a direction that I had no idea where I was going. I remember walking on the Great Lakes Bible College campus. And I remember these words in my mind. I didn't say them to Marilyn, but her and I were standing there looking at that old Dodge Estate building. And I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I said, God, what am I doing here? And about the time I got those words out, I remember Mike Steer coming running out of the front door of the Dodge Estate, running out to me, grabbing me in his arms, pulling me to him. And I remember his words, it's about time. What took you so long? You know, what do you remember about those first years of your life when Jesus meant everything to you and you were excited about it and you was in the book and the book was all you wanted to know. You wanted and you had zeal for it. Didn't matter. If the door was open, you had an opportunity to worship and study the Word of God, you were there. What happened? What happened? What happened? Well, Jesus said, you've lost your first love. You've lost it. You're not as in love with Jesus as you used to be. You're not as zealous for Him as you used to be. Remember that. And repent. Isn't that what He said? Well, there's a lot of things we need to remember, isn't there? I think as you and I get older, and some of us get older, we need to remember that God does really care about us. You know how many times just in the last few months I've heard so many people say, I just wonder sometimes if God really knows and really cares about me. Now, why in the world would anybody say that? Well, probably, maybe, because they don't think they're worthy of God's attention. I don't know. But my Bible says very emphatically, even as He did to Israel in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 4, He says, you shall remember, Israel, all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness, 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Are we not all in the testing ground? Huh? How many times has God delivered you? How many times has He healed you and put you back on your feet? How many good things have you experienced from a good God in your personal life and so on? And that yet, well, when you see Israel and all the good things that God had did for her from the very beginning to the very end, what were they doing? Grumbling, complaining, finding fault, on. And whenever their faith was being tested, what happened? They turned against God. They turned against Moses. And how many died in the wilderness because of their unbelief? You have got to remember, and you must not ever lose touch with the fact that God cares about you. He loves you, and He knows your needs before they even occur, and He's going to take care of you. The problem with Israel is they forgot the promise. The promise wasn't what's going on in the wilderness. The promise, there was a Canaan filled with milk and honey, unprepared by any of them. God had prepared it for them. And how many times that's true with us? We forget that there's a heaven. And that's where we're going through in this wilderness. Verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Your clothing did not wear out. Your feet did not swell. How many of you got swollen feet? Hey, huh? You probably heard about the guy stuck his foot in the oven. Yeah, I wanted to pop his corns. I mean, come on. It's really kind of unbelievable sometimes how many times God has really blessed us in our personal life and we have forgotten. We've forgotten. Several times Moses writes to the Israelites and he says, remember, remember, remember. Remember what? Remember when you were slaves in Egypt. Remember that. Remember when God brought you out and how He delivered you. He asked them to do that. He asked them and said He did it with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. God set you free from bondage in Israel and Egypt. He did. Remember that. Remember that. What did God set you free from? You remember? You remember? 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at His proper time, casting all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. Remember, He cares for you. When you get down, when things aren't going right, whenever you're sick and whenever you're struggling, just don't ever doubt this fact. Remember, God loves me. He cares about me. Amen? He cares about me. Did He not say in Hebrews chapter 13, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Therefore, it goes on and says that we know then that He is a present helper in all times of need. We know that, don't we? So we need to remember that. And we need to remember God's blessings, all the blessings of God of the past. That's kind of interrelated, but I believe it goes beyond that. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, God set up a memorial. You remember that? That after they crossed the Jordan River, God had 12 men take 12 rocks and take them out into the middle of the river where the priest was standing and put the rocks there. You remember why He said He wanted them to do that? He said, because your children in the future will come and they'll ask this question, what do those rocks out there mean? Why are they there in the middle of the Jordan River? And you will tell them what? You will tell them, Joshua, and you're those who do that, that it was God who had delivered us and brought us into this beautiful land of Canaan, and they will remember. We just remembered the memorial of Jesus. You know? Are we warned in how we participate in it? That we do not take it without properly discerning the Lord's body and His blood? This is my blood of the covenant, which is given for you for the remission of your sins. Isn't that what He said? He blessed the cup, and then He said, do this in remembrance of me. He took the bread, and He blessed it, told them to eat it, and eat all of it. For this is my body, which is given for you. Take it, eat it, in remembrance of me. 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 This is not a Church of Christ thing. This is the Lord's Supper. ordained by God's Son before he died, and he promised something that is unbelievable. And I remember it every Lord's Day when I walk into this building with you as the body of Christ, each of us being many members. He said, I will drink it anew with you in my kingdom. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I didn't come here just to break bread with you. I came here to have the Lord's Supper with my Lord. I believe he's here. And I believe I broke bread with him. I believe I drank and took of the cup with him because he promised he'd be there. Isn't that right? We do things in spirit, don't we? And in truth, I didn't see him. How many of you saw the blood when you went down in the water? Do you believe the blood was applied to your sins and your sins were washed away? Why did you believe that? Because that's what God promised, right? Right? Did you see the Holy Spirit coming like a dove or some way, coming into you and taking his dwelling in your body like was promised that you would receive the gift? Did you see him come? Did you know that? Or do you by faith believe that God's the Spirit and Christ dwells in you by faith, right? Why? Because that's what the book says. That's what the Bible teaches. And because God says it, you believe what he promised, right? I didn't see it, but I know he's here. I know he's in me. And I remember that promise. Don't you? Don't you? Yeah, you do. And I remember the aspects of that promise. Do it, and 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 do it. So when I take the cup, I thank him. I take the cup and I thank him. And I said, and I thank you for your blood. Because, brother, if any of you say you're without sin, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, he is just and he's good and he's righteous and he will cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. I thank him for the ongoing, continuous cleansing of the blood of his Son. That blood represented in that cup. Amen. Amen. And I thank him for you. I take the loaf. I properly discern the Lord's body. You're the Lord's body today. Do you know that? And I discern who's not here. Who's missing. Who's not a part of what we're doing here this morning. Because if we don't understand that principle, maybe my eye's missing. Maybe my arm isn't here. Maybe a part of my leg is gone. We are the body of Christ, many members, but yet one body. I can't say to anyone, I don't need you. Remember, Jesus said, I'll be here. I'll sup with you. And I'll be here and break bread with you. And therefore, it doesn't matter. Come whatever, I'm going to be here. Because I remember that promise. He said, I will take it anew with you in my kingdom. Thank God he's here. And I just didn't break bread with you. I remember you. I prayed for you. I did. I prayed for myself. I really did. We need to remember. And we need to remember to seek God every day. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and your year when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. How many of you have said, I don't know why I'm alive anymore? I mean, you said, I don't take any pleasure in having to get up in another day with Arthur and all these other whatever, arthritis, of course, rheumatism, and whatever. I don't take any pleasure in those days. Knees, isn't it? Ecclesiastes. Yeah. When's the last time you read it? Solomon gives you so much of the aspects of the vanity of life. The emptiness of life. That's why the Bible says and makes it very plain. Jesus didn't come to give you just the hour. He came to fill you and to give you abundant life. Jesus said, here's the water and you drink of it. You'll never thirst again. Here's a piece of bread. You eat the bread I can give you. You'll never hunger again. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for right. They will be filled. Are you feeling empty? You want to think that life is purposeless? You think you're over the hill? Not if you got God in you, the Spirit of God in you, and the love of God in you. You have the greatest gift that God has given man, and that is to allow the love of God to come abroad. You can love your wife through Christ. You can love your husband. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can love. You can love. Can't you? Can't you? No matter how old you get, you can say to your son, to your daughters, whatever, I love you. I want you to know I pray for you every day. You know what it was like to get on the phone and call my mom after those last few years? I never heard my mom tell me she loved me until after she became a Christian. And I tell you, I phoned her, and the reason I phoned her, because I knew what she was going to say at the end of the conversation. I remember it. She says, I just want you to know, I pray for you every day. Now, maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, because that's my mom. But I saw my mom turn and her life completely change. I'll never forget what happened to my stepdad and to my mother when Jesus came into their lives. I'm serious. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Continuous 10. You're not done with your seeking. I don't care how old you are. You're not done with your seeking. You should still, just like in the days of your youth, you should be seeking God every day. Remember that. Remember what? Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him, and he's not too far from any one of us. Least happily, if we'll seek after him, we will find him, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. We need to remember that those individuals who led us into Christ, those people who taught you, those who maybe immersed you into Christ, you should be remembering them who spoke to you the word of God. Why? Because Hebrews 13 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Look at their example. Secondly, he says, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. You know what? How you learn to walk by faith? By hanging around people who are walking by faith. By watching their conduct and their attitude. Look how little they complain and murmur about this or that. That they're always, always, always a positive person expressing their belief and their faith in God. And that they know that no matter what, God is not going to allow them to go through more than what they can stand. But God is going to give them a way to escape that they may endure it. Remember those people. Remember the impact. Remember their example. Remember who they were. Remember how they encouraged you and helped you and how you connected with them. I'll not forget them. Man, when I graduated from Bible college, I knew nothing about evangelism. I knew nothing about how to set a congregation in order. I knew nothing about how it was to raise up men to become leaders, elders. And I had no knowledge about it. I had nothing. All I had is the book. And they had given me the book, and they gave me some understanding about the book. I did know how to handle the book and rightly divide. I did know that, okay? But the point of it is, in that ministries, in every ministry I've had, there's been a Bill Wyrick, there's been a Fred Chase, Dwayne Rensburgers, there's been men of God that I've spent time with, prayed with, shared with. You know what? I remember those men. You know why? Because they're inside of me. I can remember going out and sitting in the woods with Dwayne Rensburger with a .22 rifle squirrel hunting. You know how many squirrels we shot? We sat together under a tree talking about the Lord and a few other things. I saw that man change, his whole attitude about people. I saw things that God was doing in individual lives. I'll never forget Fred Chase. Look at me straight in the eye. Because he knew I was young and I was afraid. And he said, young man, let me tell you this. The only way you're going to conquer fear is to do whatever it is you're afraid of. We say, come out of your comfort zone, remember? No, I remember those words. I remember the words he gave me. And I remember that when I would stand before people, sweat would run off of me. I'd be soaking wet when I preached my first sermons. And I'd be shaking in my boots. I really was. I was scared to death. I still am. I have butterflies every Lord's Day. Anytime I get up to speak, feel, it doesn't matter. I have butterflies, okay? I'm human, all right? But I just know how to organize them so they're flying in order. That's only difference. There's a lot of things about life that I don't want to forget. But Jesus also said, remember Lot's wife. Oh, yeah, he said that, Luke 17:32. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Well, we all know what happened. He looked back, didn't she? Were they warned not to look back? Yes. And she turned into a pillar of salt, right? I heard a little boy saying, well, you know, Lot's wife turned back, looked back and turned into a pillar. My mommy turns back and turns into a telephone pole. Point of issue is what did Jesus say? Jesus says a man who puts his hands to the plow and does what? Looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What is there that you can't forget that was so important to you that you got to turn around and look back at it? That should be totally out of your mind and gone. You should have forgotten it. It shouldn't attract you anymore. You shouldn't want it. You've been set free from it. You are now, and you fix your eyes on Jesus, and you're moving towards a higher goal, higher ground. You're moving on in your individual life. Don't look back. Remember that. Don't look back. What? Don't look back at what the world has to offer and whatever it was that the world could give to you. Don't do that. Don't do it. We need to remember how good we have it. Yeah. Remember the rich man, Lazarus? Remember the rich man sitting there saying and asking Abraham to have Lazarus come over and dip his finger in water and because he was thirsty and he was in torment. Remember that? You know what Abraham said? Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. There are many things we may not have in our memory bank, but there are some experiences in life that you and I do have. And we need not to forget them. Need not forget how good we have it today. How many of you remember driving the water pipes down into the ground and then putting the pitcher pump on? Anybody here? How many of you remember the outhouses? You hear about the guy that put in a hole and he only cut in and put a hole in? And the guy said, why in the world did you do that? Because I hear my half-brothers coming. You all remember those. None of you remember that. I mean, you know how good you got it today compared to what people sacrificed. You remember? What would have been like to come over on the Mayflower and have all these people dying around you with diseases and not knowing where it is, and yet you got in the boat heading for what? No man. You had no idea. But they came, didn't they? And what if they hadn't of? And remember when they landed and the winners that came, if it hadn't been for the Indians, most of them would have died. They'd never made it through the winter months. But they sacrificed. They came. They set it in Georgetown and all the things that occurs there. Think about the thousands of people that died during the British War. Well, how about the thousands that died during the Civil War? And if you have an opportunity to go out to Gettysburg and you go out into the fields and they have these monuments up there, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look how many times Horton. 50% of my ancestors died during the Civil War. Yeah. I remember going there. I remember seeing it. So I looked into it in the aspect. That's where my original Horton settled, was in that Pennsylvania, in the area of that nature. And they were part of the Civil War. And here I am standing today free because they were willing to die. Get it? How about the price that people paid that gave up their lives for the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, knowing that they could very well die and they gave everything? How about those who gave their lives during World War I and World War II? And some of those people, families are still paying the price. You know that, don't you? World War II especially. How about the aspect of Korea? How about Vietnam? about Iraq? How about Afghanistan? How about Iran today? How about what's going on in our world today? How many hundreds of thousands of our men and women are over there right now? Why? So you and I can sit here and be free. Memorial Day. Don't you forget the price that was paid to set you free here today, and who and why you can be here today, because of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who died for you to be free in America. Amen? And don't you forget, on the Lord's Day, you and I have a privilege of coming around this table to remember the price that was paid to set you free from the freedom of the slavery of sin. We are a people. Thousands of us throughout the whole world are meeting together at one in a place called the Assemblies of God's People. Who knows how many today are meeting around this same table for the same purpose, remembering the price that God paid. I'm so happy you came today. It means everything in the world to have you here on the Lord's Day with me as a part of the body of Christ. Because without you, we are not a body, over which Jesus is the head over all things to his body. What are those people out there that died? How many thousands of, what were their names? You know any of them? Do you know what their names are? What their names are? Do you know their families? Do you know their names? Do you know the pain, the hurt, and the agonizing that they experienced in life? I mean, do you know? I don't know, but because of all their sacrifices, I know this. This is what I do know. And I have no doubt in my mind that this is true. There is a time frame in our lives today, we're experiencing more and more and more of what is warned about in Malachi. And the aspects, of course, is the fact that it's vain to serve God. What profit is it? Why do we want to keep his charge and do what he commands? We have walked in mourning, but the Lord of hosts, and now they're calling it arrogant, blessed. Not only are they doers of wickedness, build up, but they also test God and they escape. You realize how many times I've heard my daughter say, why are they getting away with it? Look at all the evil and the wickedness that's out there in the world. You know what God says? Don't focus on them. Don't be envious of them. They will repay. God will repay. He has appointed a day. And she's getting that now. Because we just think everybody's getting away with everything. No, no one's getting away with anything. Nobody. ISIS is not getting away. There is a God who is appointed today, and they will give an account for what they have done. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. But you and I have the privilege, if you will. It says, then the Lord said, and then those who feared, what? Feared the Lord, spoke to one another. Can we have a talk? Can we have a talk right now? Did you know there is a book of remembrance and your name is in it? Huh? Those who feared the Lord, they said they spoke to one another. The Lord gave attention and the Lord heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between what? The righteous and the wicked. Between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. Those who are in that book of remembrance are those who fear God. They are esteeming his name. They are living righteous lives before God, and they can differentiate between the righteous and the wicked. And they are serving him. They are serving him. And because people have paid the price and died all over this world to give me the freedom to be here today, they've given me the opportunity to have my name in that book. You understand what I just said? What's more important than anything else is having your book in that remembrance book. Revelation calls it the book of life, doesn't it? And your name is written there. And all those who have their names in the book of life will not go through the testing and tribulation of this world, and they will spend their eternity with God. Right? There's a book of remembrance. And because of the price that was paid by Jesus and all those that have gone after him in all these wars and whatever, I was 20 years old when I was born again. I went and was called to go into the army. I went to Detroit, went through the physicals. I watched all these guys with the needles passing out and whatever. I just entered into college. I had full scholarship, athletic scholarship for college and whatever. And I had filled out all my papers. And when it got to me, because I was willing to go, they said, well, we're not going to take you. You go back and you go to college. They drafted my brother out of college, 6 years older than I. They did. And I remember how he, and the bitterness that he had because of that. I remember that. And I don't know if he ever got over it. It had a pact on his life. But I do know this today. I know this today. I am here today in front of you, with you as the body of Christ, Jesus being the head of all of it because of his blood, because he was willing to shed it for me. And I am not going to forget Gethsemane. I'm not going to forget his agony. I'm not going to forget what he paid and the price he paid that I could have the hope that I have and I could get my name in the book of remembrance. I fear God. I fear him. Because I know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, right? Huh? I am capable, and I see the wickedness that's going on in the world today, don't you? But I also see those who are walking upright before God. And I love it to see God's people walking upright in a world that is filled with darkness. But I also know those who are really serving God and those who aren't. Those who aren't. So stand together, and we're going to sing this song that I just sort of quoted a little bit. Because I just really believe we need to make sure that we don't forget.